Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer, and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all the earth. You're witnesses of these things. I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city till you're clothed with power from on high. I've lost control. Have you ever said that? I've lost control of my life. Imagine I've said that a few times. And yet it's not really true. Because it's in moments like that, what I'm really losing is the illusion that I was ever in control of my life totally in the first place. You know, we human beings have built-in limitations. We can't fly no matter how hard we flap our arms and imitate the birds. We can't live in this physical state on earth no matter how well we discipline our diet and faithfully exercise. Why, there are things that happen to us as we make our way through life that are totally beyond our control. Many of them good, praise the Lord. Many of them unexpected blessings that we in no way deserve, praise the Lord. But I can't help but think this past week of those thousands of people who were seated in that fine arts building in Manchester, England, enjoying a concert of music, an evening out with friends and family, when all of a sudden there's a bomb that detonates. And as a result of that, 22 people are tragically killed, 59 others injured in ways that could impact them for the rest of their lives. And a short time later, the terrorist organization ISIS proudly claims responsibility for what was done. You know, just as quickly a tornado might strike us. It's possible also that a hurricane can find its way all the way from South Africa across the ocean to where we are. We can become victims in an automobile accident. It's also possible that the economy could crash. It's also possible that we could be stricken with cancer or heart disease. But perhaps the most frightening ordeal of all for us in our human experience is the fear of being left alone, totally alone. Psychologists tell us that we're all born with three fears. The fear of loud noises. Did it bother your baby when you vacuumed the house when they were asleep? We're all fearful of falling, a fear that we usually outgrow. But there's also the fear of being left alone, totally alone. The first thing that God saw in his perfect world, after everything he had made, repeatedly he declares it good. The world still unmarred by sin. It's not good that man should be alone. I'll make a helper suitable for him. This fear of being left alone is one that we're born with. You know, babies and small children fear the loss of their mother. It's teenagers who fear the loss of the friendship of classmates, and so they cave into peer pressure. Married people fear abandonment by a spouse. Elderly people may fear being left all alone in a nursing home to die. And yet, didn't Jesus, who one day said, "My Father is always with me," experience the ultimate in abandonment and isolation? While hanging on the cross to pay for the sins of the entire world, in fulfillment of Psalm 22, he cries out, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" In our first lesson, in our gospel lesson, Luke tells us that 40 days after his glorious ascension from the dead, he ascended to the right hand of the Father, and yet he's certainly quick to point out to us it wasn't just one or two times, it was numerous times that the risen Christ had appeared to his people. If he had just appeared once or twice, how many people would have been convinced? You know, he appears to them numerous times, some of which are recorded for us in the Gospels. You know, I love what St. Luke says. You know, John also tells us he appeared in the upper room with the disciples on that first Easter evening. He showed them his hands and his side. He said, "It really is me." In Luke's Gospel, he said, "Touch me and see that it is me. For a spirit does not have flesh and blood, as you see that I have in bones. He showed them his hands and feet, and while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. You know, 40 days after that first Easter, Jesus Christ ascended triumphantly to the right hand of God the Father. And maybe here's the strangest part of the equation. He told those disciples, even as he tells us today by his resurrection power, that it really was to our advantage and their advantage that he did so. He took his divine nature and his human nature, made one in the conception, never to be separated again, all the way to the right hand of God the Father Almighty. You know, he made this promise on the night before he died. If you love me and keep my commandments, I will ask the Father, and he'll give you another helper to be and abide with you forever. You know him, Jesus says, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, for I will come to you let a little while, and you'll see me no longer, and then again you'll see me. I love the way the choir sang about it the last two Sundays. Christ is with me everywhere I go. And as we grow in our sanctification, we can come by the grace of God to that point where, whether anybody else knows it or not, it doesn't impact my life that much, but you and I can come to that point by the grace of God where we can say, you know what, it really is no longer I who live. It's Christ who lives in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. You see, it was not just enough that through Christ, God was born into our world. That was his great Christmas gift to all of us, the greatest Christmas gift ever. But his ascension gift is that through Christ, we might be born into God and receive his very Spirit to come and dwell within us. You know, we do go through frightening moments in life. And yet how good it is to know in those difficult and challenging times that Christ is with me everywhere I go. How wonderful it is to be able to say with the deepest faith and conviction, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How wonderful it is by the grace of God to be able to say, you know what? We're more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. God, the Holy Spirit, has convinced me that neither life nor death, nor things past nor things present, neither rulers nor angels, nothing in all creation will be able to separate me from the love of God, which is mine in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, it says that when Jesus ascended that first ascension day into heaven, that the disciples were filled with joy. And I can understand that, can't you? This Jesus who was taken from you is going to come again in the same manner in which you saw him go. And yet it would not be an accurate interpretation of that text if somebody had simply videotaped Jesus ascending into heaven. And if we want to see what the second coming is going to be like, is simply to play it backwards and rewind it. Oh no, every eye shall see him. Those who pierced him with the nails will see him. Every knee will bow before him and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You know, we can understand their joy. They probably believed that he would be back in a couple of days, maybe a couple of weeks, maybe 1.5, 2 years at best. Someone has said that's not been our experience. We weren't there that day. Maybe what the church needs is a new stained glass window with nobody in it but us, without Jesus at that point, or the cloud, or the light. But as joyful as they were, Their joy must have been increased phenomenally on that first Pentecost Sunday. They would experience sadness and sorrow. They would experience trouble again. After all, every one of them, Jesus predicted and the Bible tells us and tradition upholds, died a martyr's death. You know, we may not have been there to experience that, but because God fulfilled the promise and poured out the Holy Spirit upon those apostles, they became bold preachers of the gospel, and we hear that gospel still today. And though we weren't there then, we know that He is here with us now. He said, "Where will you find me? Wherever two or three are gathered together in my name." He said, "In the waters of baptism, you'll be buried into my life and risen again." He says, "In the celebration of the Holy Supper, I'm with you. I'm truly with you. This is how you'll find me and how I'll make myself available to you." And so, where is this love of Christ, this most precious commodity in all the world, to be found? You know, we can be like those disciples on the first Ascension Day. We can stand there with neck strained backward, simply craning into the sky. God's given us something better to do than that, to proclaim the gospel to the joy of Christ's holy people. But where can the love of Jesus be found? Now, you think back on your life as I do mine. Isn't it right here in the hearts of His people? It's what Paul's talking about in that second lesson when he says the risen Christ fills all in all. And we too need to be bold in our proclamation to that gospel. You know, there's a story about a Christian man who woke from his sleep every day and he prayed the same prayer morning after morning. "Lord, if you want me to witness to someone today, please give me a sign to show me who it is." A few days later, after he prayed this prayer again and again, he found himself on a bus traveling through a very busy metropolitan center, a great city. Unexpectedly, though there were very few people that were on the bus, at one of the stops there was this big burly man that stepped upon the bus, and even though there were plenty of seats, sat down right next to him. It made the man very nervous. He couldn't wait till he got to his stop when he could exit the bus. But all of a sudden, this big burly guy burst into tears and begins to weep. He cried out with a loud voice, "I need to be saved. I'm a lost sinner and I need the Lord. Won't somebody tell me how to be saved?" He turned to the Christian and pleaded, "Can you show me how to be saved?" The believer immediately bowed his head and prayed, "Lord, is this a sign?" Says throughout the book of the Acts that the Holy Spirit filled those formerly timid and fearful disciples. It says over and over again that the Holy Spirit filled them with a holy boldness. You know, one of the greatest mayors to serve in the history of the United States is Mayor Daley. He was mayor of Chicago for 21 years, all the way from 1955 to 1976. It's said that one of his speechwriters came in one day who had been working faithfully for Mayor Daley for 3 years. He said, "Mayor," he said, "I've been here for 3 years. I'd like to request a raise." And immediately Mayor Daley replied, "A raise? You're getting probably paid more now already than you're worth anyway." He said, "You should simply be glad of the fact that you're working for a great American hero like me." Well, it turns out that the man continued to work, and a few weeks later, you know, Mayor Daley was supposed to stand up and address this convention of veterans about some new 17-point plan to give them the kind of honor and respect that they deserve. I think it's a story that ties in well with Monday being Memorial Day. And he also had the habit of never really looking at his speeches until he got up to give them. And so there he is reading the speech off about this great 17-point plan that he was suggesting the government embrace to provide better ministry and more faithful care to our American veterans. You know, he himself by this time was on the edge of the seat. What all would this 17-point plan entail? And that's when he turned the page and read the words, "You're now on your own, you great American hero." Aren't we glad that when Christ calls us to fulfill the Great Commission, he doesn't leave us on our own? He still pours out the Holy Spirit upon us today to assure us of his presence. When we're not in control, he's in control. And in the ascension of Christ, we view a preview of our own. That's why we celebrate the ascension again this morning, brothers and sisters, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.